Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Welcome to episode 16 of Read Me a Nightmare. I'm Angelique Fons, your host, and today we have a very interesting little story for you called The Metamorphosis. It was first published in Scare Street Night Terrors, Volume 9. So the character in this story is Seth, and he's a different kind of vampire. He's a leech man, and I'm actually currently trying to write my very first full-length novel, and Seth is my protagonist. He's sort of a vampire with a heart of gold, and he's a different sort of vampire because he's a leech man. So instead of being a vampire that comes from a bat, he comes from a leech. So it's something a little bit different. And this story is about how he became a leech man. And it's voiced by Bill Wisner, who is a most fabulous producer, and I work with him at Global TV. And I love his voice, and he's read a few stories for me on this podcast. He's hoping to have a future career doing some voicing on the side, and I think this guy has a great chance at being successful, because just listen to his voice, it's great. So sit back, grab yourself a hot cup of coffee, stay away from ponds and dark forests, and have a listen to The Metamorphosis.
Seth hesitated before tossing the knife into the suitcase lying open on his antique mahogany four-poster bed. The ornate hunting blade with lamprey eels carved into the wood handle fell squarely in the middle of the overflowing clothes. The artist's rendition of the jawless fish looked like Stephen King's version of a leech. Many-toothed monsters. Oil lamps cast a dim light on the sweaters, shorts, t-shirts, and boxers in the well-worn leather luggage. The black bag was enormous, covered in travel stickers from farm shows all over North America, and holding up well for a 50-year-old item. He needed the space for his size 46 pants and XXXL shirts. What was he supposed to pack for an experimental medical treatment? Better to overpack than wish you'd brought your favorite sweats, eh, Charlie? Seth asked the miniature pig laying in the dog bed in the corner of his bedroom. He'd inherited the knife, the suitcase, and an aggressive form of diabetes from his recently deceased father. Charlie squealed when he zipped the bag shut. You can't come, little pig, but no worries. I got you a hog sitter. He picked up a small morsel of chocolate on his bedside table and tossed it to her. I was saving this for a late-night snack, but if I'm serious about kicking this diabetes, I gotta kick the sweet treats first. Charlie's pink tongue snagged the chocolate. Seth painfully shrugged off his overalls and forced his swollen fingers to undo the snaps on his plaid shirt. He looked at the cornucopia of drugs on his bedside table. Aleve, Advil, Tylenol, CBD oil, even a tab or two of Oxy. He dry-swallowed an Advil and climbed into bed. Time for some shut-eye, pretty pig. His pot-belly pet laid her head down and gave a contented grunt. If this treatment works, Charlie, you and I can start jogging together. We could both use more exercise. The pig was already fast asleep, her jowls vibrating as she snored. Seth was too nervous to fall asleep. He ran his hands over his belly. Gut fat on a 30-year-old man was not healthy, even though he hid it pretty well on his 6'4" frame. A year ago, he had moved back to the farm when his dad died unexpectedly. His mom had already been gone for years. Someone had to run the piggery farm. But when the time came to send the fattened pork to market, Seth couldn't bring himself to slaughter any of them. The intelligence in their eyes, the way they played with each other, he half wished he could join them and roll around ecstatically in the mud. But what kind of pig farmer can't kill a pig? He missed both his parents. He was annoyed that he had to leave his job selling the farm produce at the city market. And now, He felt like a farming failure. So he ate and ate and ate. He devoured everything except bacon. Trying to force himself to sleep, he mentally envisioned his pigs jumping one by one over a hay bale. There were 50 pigs on his farm, and he was busy naming them all. Jump, Esmeralda. Okay, Notorious P.I.G., you're up. Over you go, Bertha. You need more speed to clear that hay, Seth mumbled until he was snoring like Charlie. The next morning, Dolores, his closest neighbor on the remote country road, pulled into his driveway in a beat-up Ranger 4x4. She ran a tanning and mud bath business called Sun and Mud. Seth had yet to see many clients, though. He had no idea how she kept it afloat. His front door banged shut. "Get out of bed, you handsome hunk of manhood! You's got your appointment with the diabetic doc today!" she hollered from the bottom of the stairs. Scrambling out of bed, he pulled on his overalls and grabbed his suitcase. Charlie followed him down the stairs. Leaning provocatively in the doorway, Dolores was dressed in a thrift store prom dress. Pushing 50, she wore a cheap pink wig, which matched the lace gown. "How are you going to do farm chores dressed in that?" Seth asked. "I'll take good care of your farm, big man. Just come back to me good and healthy so we can have a hot romance already." Dolores winked one over-mascaraed eye. She sashayed over to pick up a suitcase sitting beside the front door. Charlie trotted into the kitchen to eat breakfast out of the automatic food dispenser. "Are you sure this doctor knows what he's doing?" Seth asked, grabbing his wallet and keys off the antique buffet. "I'm telling you, this healer guy works miracles. My brother had a bad case of them diabetes, and he got cured up right quick. It's a highly experimental, top secret treatment, all right? You'll be thanking me with a deep kiss when y'all get back." Seth suppressed a shudder, following Dolores out to his truck. She threw the suitcase in like it was made of feathers. Though she wasn't the prettiest lady, she radiated strength and vitality. He was slightly terrified of her. But he couldn't keep taking care of his pigs if his feet were always sore. He needed to get his disease under control, and this felt like a final Hail Mary. "Please take good care of Charlie and all my other pigs. The grain bins are full, and the water troughs need to be refilled daily." Seth fired up his old Ford 150. It was a beautiful fall day, and the leaves were just beginning to turn. The wind ruffled his thick black hair. The air was warm, but his hands trembled on the wheel. He took deep breaths and forced himself not to turn the truck around. Somehow, he made it to the small public dock along the sands of the enormous and tumultuous lake. The gray waves crashed against the shore, looking inhospitable. A man stood on the dock with a pontoon boat moored beside him. Yanking the old leather suitcase behind him, he walked slowly, hoping his legs wouldn't give way. The light spray from the lake waves was chilling. The lone figure on the dock didn't look much like a doctor. He was tall, bald, and wearing ill-fitting surgical scrubs under a coyote fur jacket.
"Seth, glad you could make it. I'm Dr. Damien. There's no ferry over to Serpent Island, so I'll transport you myself. True personalized service." He gestured to the boat. It floated on the water thanks to big barrels attached to a wide deck shaded by a tarp roof. Seth stepped on the deck, wincing at the pain in his feet, as Dr. Damien quickly untied the boat and pushed off. Sitting down on the white bench at the back of the boat, he tried to keep his eyes firmly on the horizon. He hadn't eaten breakfast, and acid curdled in his stomach. It was a relief hopping off the boat onto firm land when they got to the little island. A bronzed, muscular man, a foot taller,
and twice as wide as the doctor, waited for them on a decrepit wood dock. He was also bald and tanned, but had tribal tattoos decorating his skull.
"I'm Dan, the assistant. I hope your visit will be all transformative and shit."
"Transformative? You're not going to give me ayahuasca or anything." Seth wasn't the sort to sit in a teepee drinking a poisonous drug while hunting for his spirit animal.
"No, there'll be no hallucinogenic drugs. Don't worry, Seth," Dr. Damien said.
"Whatever."
Dan grabbed Seth's suitcase from him and walked off the dock onto a gravel path. Seth couldn't see any roads or cars on Serpent Island. From the water, it hardly looked big enough to be called an island, with only one or two cottages on the white sand beach. The gravel path led into a forest and soon became a dirt trail. Pines swayed in the wind as they stepped over logs and branches strewn haphazardly on the path. His anxiety mounted with every step. This was obviously not a typical medical center. Was he being kidnapped? He might have made a big mistake. Could he get to his knife?
"Let's waste no time. Dan will store your suitcase, and you will follow me," Dr. Damien said.
Panicked, he watched the tattooed man wheel his suitcase and his knife out of sight.
"Aren't we going to some sort of clinic?"
"I was thinking nurses with pale yellow scrubs, bright lights, and sterile equipment," Seth asked.
"Your treatment will be unorthodox, but very effective. Have faith, my handsome friend," Dr. Damien said.
Reluctantly, he followed the back of the doctor's coyote fur jacket down a path deeper into the woods. The last of the sun's rays illuminated a murky pond. They stopped at the edge, and Seth took a deep breath. It was a deep, earthy smell. Moss, mildew, and the decay of long-dead plants filled his nostrils. The water was a muddy brown with cattails and watergrass festooning the edges.
"Time to strip down to your skivvies," Dr. Damien said.
"What kind of treatment is this?" Seth asked, shivering, and pulled his shirt tighter around him.
"A breakthrough way of treating extreme diabetes that combines an age-old remedy along with a drug that I myself developed. Patent coming."
Damien plunged a needle into Seth's bicep.
"Hey, hey," Seth said, his voice sounding far away.
"Look, pig farmer, don't make me strip you myself. You may be my sister's type, but you're not mine," Dr. Damien said, dropping the cordial act.
Seth pulled off his t-shirt. A little voice at the back of his brain told him to fight and keep his clothes on.
Where was his knife?
That voice faded to a pleasant drone, telling him everything was perfect. And of course, he should take his overalls off. Dr. Damien helped him take a tentative step into the water. Mud squelched up from between his toes, and the pond was surprisingly warm, almost bath temperature.
"Is there a hot spring feeding this pond?" Seth heard his voice ask.
"Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Now get in. We swam in this pond as kids all the time. You're going to be just fine," Damien said.
Seth squinted and tried to think. Swam as kids?
"Get in!"
Damien gave him a little push. Seth slipped on the mud and landed in the pond with a thump. The buzz in his head increased. He sank into the warm water, leaving only his head unsubmerged.
"Did you actually think I was a doc? I should get an Oscar. I'm not sure what Dolores sees in you, but what she wants, she gets."
Damien walked back into the bush.
Dolores? His farm sitter and flirty neighbor?
Seth looked up at the trees where the reddish ball of the sun was dropping behind the pines. He enjoyed the shifting pattern of light on the leaves. His eyes closed. There was a light tickling on his arm. He squirmed, trying to stay asleep. Leave me alone. I don't want to get up yet. The tickling persisted, but now he could feel it on his neck and chest. Come on. Let me sleep. He was so pleasantly warm, napping in this silky pond. Wait. Why was he sleeping in a pond? Braving the sunlight, Seth opened his eyes, and he could see a dark spot on his cheek. A lump of mud. A twitching lump. Adrenaline woke him fully, and he jumped out of the water. He looked down at his arms, his mind not comprehending. The mud was lumpy, shiny, and wiggling. He took one unnaturally thick hand covered in the brown tubes and brushed at his opposing forearm. Globs fell, but not the ones directly against his skin. It was not mud. He was covered in leeches. Raising a black hand to his face, he could feel his cheeks, hilly and slimy. He tried to scream, but his tongue was too thick, leeches clinging to his gums, his tongue, the sides of his cheek. A weak gurgle, and he swiped at his face desperately. He smashed his hands on his legs, feeling the searing pain when he managed to knock a few off. Flinging himself onto the grass, he rolled and thrashed, his blood mixed with the torn leeches on the ground. Seth tried to draw air, straining to get his jaws open wide enough to breathe around the leeches in his mouth. He spit out bits of leech he gnashed with his teeth. What a horrible metallic taste! He stopped his desperate swiping and paused to get his strength back. There were still hundreds attached to his skin. Those that had survived his frantic tearing were visibly enlarging. Two cool hands reached under his armpits and helped him sit up. My handsome hunk, you's best just relax now. This hard part be over soon, Dolores whispered in his ear. Seth shoved her, but her long, thin arms were strong and held him tight. Look, this is gonna make you better. No diabetes, no sickness, no more, she said. What have you done? Seth mumbled around the leeches still on his tongue. He could feel her hot breath on his infested neck. Her pink hair brushed his cheek. You are being overdosed with something called Hyrudin. It's in leech saliva, and it's going to be making your blood super thin. And these ain't no normal leeches. They some special leeches. Give you superpowers, like me and my bros. Special? How? Seth asked. My grandpa, who had a trailer on this here land, used to talk about a secret nuclear test station. Something must elite. I reckon nuclear waste super juice. Dolores stroked his head, his thick hair pulling away in her fingers. Nuclear leeches? He was too exhausted to react. The creatures fell off Seth's skin when full. Dolores reached into his mouth to pull them off his tongue, stroked his chest, and even reached into his underwear to gently remove the suckers attached there. She brought out a water bottle, and he gulped gratefully. He felt a surge of strength and bliss as the liquid glopped down his throat. It wasn't water. Was it wine? It was thick, tasted coppery. Seth spit out the liquid in his mouth. What's in that bottle? Why, blood, hottie pants, Dolores said. What do you mean, blood? Why did he feel so good? Strong, flexible, vital, like he didn't need an ornate knife with lampreys carved in wood. He could fight with his bare hands. He looked in wonder at his palms. An invisible slit opened, and several little teeth glinted and gnashed from the center of each hand.
Y'all like us now. A leech person. Damien, Dan, and I swam in that there mud hole as kids. And we've been part leech ever since. I needed myself some non-related companionship.
Seth clenched his fists, and the sucking mini-mouths closed. Reaching up to his skull, he pulled away big hunks of black hair.
Ever see a leech with hair?
Yup.
You'll be bald, but strong. It's gonna be wonderful. I done wanted you for my man for ages.
Dolores smiled at him, super white teeth mocking him, the wrinkles around her lips stretched wide. Opening her thin arms, she walked towards him.
Come, give me a hug, you gorgeous sucker. A wave of disgust, energy, and something else, something feral raced through his body.
Seth leaped up on strong, sinewy legs and ran into the thick of the forest, running like he hadn't run since his high school days. No pain in his feet, no pain in his joints.
Seth, wait,
Dolores called. He didn't wait. He ran. He was hungry. He was hungry.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Read Me a Nightmare. And I'm sure you agree, Bill did a really good job with this. His voice for Dolores, oh my God, too perfect. Anyways, if you want to learn more, go to www.fonz.ca and you can contact me, sign up for my newsletter, and you can send me a note. And if you want to hire Bill or use Bill for reading, you just get in touch with me and I'll see if I can hook you up. Until next time. This has been Read Me a Nightmare.